This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And we're going to be here until 11 o'clock, taking your computer calls, comments, questions, and concerns. And then I'm going to do a dump run. While most of you guys are listening to us while you're doing dump runs, I do have to do the same thing. It is that time of year. But we do appreciate you guys joining us on this lovely Saturday morning, a little rainy up here in Connecticut. But wherever you are, feel free to call in 860-522-9842, and we'll do our best to help you out with those computer problems, comments, and concerns. What do you got going on as far as concerns are, Dennis, that we should let people know about?
Well, a bunch of security services and even Microsoft has issued warnings. Oh, also federal agencies have issued warnings about this.
Nice. Is still anybody there to do that?
Yeah, Elon hasn't fired everybody yet.
All right, that's good.
Anyway, this is a scam that's going out typically in the form of phishing emails, but It can also come up in compromised ads just on a web page that you load.
Right, a compromised web page.
Compromised web page and a compromised advertisement in it.
Right.
That then does something on your screen.
Right.
And if you open up a phishing email with this, you'd click on the link and it would load a web page. Either way, it's coming to you through the web.
Yeah.
And what you'll see on your screen is something like telling you that there's a problem with your computer.
Yeah.
Or a problem with your account somewhere, like a bank account or streaming account.
And whatever it's just guessing.
It's just guessing. Right. Yeah. I mean, they might tell you that there's a problem with your Netflix account and you don't even have one.
Right.
I mean, you're going to ignore it. But if you happen to have one, you're going to pay attention.
You might. Yeah.
At any rate, you will be given some instructions on the screen. And the instructions are to hit the Windows key and R at the same time.
Yeah.
And then hit Control V.
Mm-hmm.
And then hit Enter. Now, what this is going to do, it's going to open up what's called the run box in Windows.
Yep.
When you hit Control V, that is the paste function.
Right.
And that is when it will paste from your system clipboard what has been put into it from this compromised web page.
Right.
And it's a stream of instruction, string of instructions.
Right. You're doing the dirty work for the bad guys.
Right. And then when you hit enter, bang, it runs.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it is that got put into your clipboard will run. You may not even see it.
Yikes.
Because it may be a long string and there might actually be spaces at the end of it to prevent you from knowing that there's something going on.
There's not even a thank you?
No. At any rate, for me, this is very frightening because you're running something. You're actually executing code that the bad guys are feeding to you.
And there'll be no warning on Windows because they're going to be like, well,
no,
if you want to do this, go
because
ahead.
The computer thinks that you want to do it.
Right.
It doesn't know any better.
Yeah.
Because you voluntarily opened up that run box.
Yeah.
and then you executed it.
Yikes.
And there are any number of things that are being loaded, different kinds of remote access Trojans, keyloggers, all kinds of things that are getting being loaded by these campaigns.
It's a big deal.
And it's really bad. And all I have to say is that when I saw on the screen what was being displayed to people by these ads, I just said to myself, I hope nobody runs that because that is frightening. That is frightening.
Because you have no idea what you're injecting in your machine.
And it's this is another example of how the scammers are depending on you, the human being,
right,
to do something on your computer. And it's up to you to decide whether to do it. And, of course, some of us know not to do that. But, you know,
hopefully
people can be fooled.
Of course. We're all humans.
And,
yeah.
But the scammers are depending on that. So this is not just a computing exploit that's being taken advantage of. It's human psychology.
Right.
So be careful out there.
Don't just listen to your computer tell you to do anything. You can't believe your computer anymore.
Remember Hill Street Blues. Let's be careful out there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
In other news, the U.S. electric company was subject to almost a year-long Volt Typhoon compromise. So
whoa.
This is a small utility that, again, just was infiltrated by the Chinese. Volt Typhoon has been seen in a lot of our communications companies. They've been hanging around. And the significance of the Discovery's attack is that it highlights the adversary is not only aimed at maintaining a persistent access to the victim's environment for a long tenure. They're looking also to exfiltrate data over time. So over 300 days, they were out there and hanging on that electric company's systems.
Oh.
And this is, again, the FBI told them finally, hey, yeah, by the way, so again, what does this mean, right? So it means the Chinese are attacking our infrastructure, and the defenses that are up there are not very good. And even when you thought you were all set for 300 days, whatever tools you're running on your system clearly were awful and didn't notice
right.
that Volt Typhoon is banging around on your network. What were they going to do? Who knows? There's SCADA systems. There's all sorts of systems that speak to the industrial machines and the communication that you're dealing with within these networks. So who knows? But their goal is to kind of hang out and wait.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, how many of these infiltrations are running right now and exist right now that the FBI maybe hasn't told them yet? Hey, by the way, we've noticed this. Why they waited, I have no idea.
Ugh.
But it's something that we have to be careful with because we brought this up for a while. The FBI has warned on this for many, many years that that's what's happening. And if you're an IT person in these systems, you should be running different types of technologies to see what could be on your network.
Yeah, and you should also have layers.
Right. Different.
Multiple layers.
Different vendors.
Yes. Different vendors, different layers, different approaches. You should do penetration tests.
Right.
You should do system audits. Yeah, there's a lot to be done.
Clearly not a lot was being done at that company. And we'll put the story up there for you to read. I touched on this with Brian and Company on Tuesday, and I keep thinking about it all week. And there was a research study that was done by Duke University, Carnegie Mellon, and Oxford, and Yale, the Yaleys. And surprise, people don't want AI deciding who gets a kidney transplant and who dies or endures years of misery. This is the headline. And so, I mean, I kind of agree, right? AI right now making those decisions does seem kind of silly. Basically, 12 people die each day in the U.S. for a lack of a kidney transplant.
Ooh.
And also notes that 1 in 5 deceased donor kidneys are discarded.
Oh.
So plenty of those kidneys could have possibly been used.
Oh.
But the interesting thing here is, you know, the questions that you're wondering, how would you make these decisions if you had AI doing it? You know, years of life expected to be gained from the transplant, number of dependents, obesity level, weekly work hours after transplant, you know, how productive might you be, years on the transplant waiting list, number of past serious crimes you might have committed.
What?
So, you know, this is a pretty heavy decision. I don't even know how these decisions are made anyways. You hope doctors are making the right decisions as far as who should get a a transplant and who shouldn't get a transplant. And of course, people are a little nervous about AI. But then you think back to what we went through with COVID. I recall hearing doctors, experts, politicians, you name it, say, oh, you didn't get the shot. Oh, you're having a heart attack. We're going to leave you in the hallway. We're going to go help someone who got the shot first. Now, back then, 5 years ago, that seemed to be what the humans that were all making these decisions were talking about. You know, oh, you're too stupid to get the shot. So then we're not going to, you know, help you if you're sitting there in the hallway. We're going to help this other person. In that case, I would think AI would be preferred.
Might be.
Yeah. So I think AI might be the way to go going down the line. Just harken back to 5 years ago when people were talking that way. People talk that way about people who've smoked for your whole life. You know, maybe you don't deserve a lung transplant because you smoke, right? Who's making these decisions, right? And if we can have a way to have AI do it cleanly and coldly and systematically fairly, as long as it's a fair system, maybe we do want AI making these decisions. But as of right now, because Dennis has a story that he's going to bring up, we really don't want AI making these decisions quite yet. Yeah. But we'll put the story up there. It is kind of it's a pretty serious discussion here. And again, who's making these decisions? You know, is it the insurance company making decisions? Because that's even worse.
Yeah, so. Let's not even go there at all.
Right. And if it's Robert Reich, he'll tell you to take the pill and not even do anything. So what do you got on your AI story there, Dennis?
Well, AI, there's problems with it.
Yes, sir.
According to a study of AI search engines,
yes.
This is specifically about the AI search results that you see now in Google and Bing and most of the others.
Yeah, and people are getting upset about it, by the way, not to mess up your story, but these search engines are being short-circuited because you actually just look at the summary now and don't actually go to the pages anymore.
Right. See, you're not actually getting the search results that you should have been getting.
Right.
Because they throw this
summary
junk in your way. At any rate, this study found that there's a astounding 60% error rate in those results.
Wow.
And they went over a lot of the different models that are used for this AI search. Turns out that one of Elon's models, Grok 3, is one of the worst offenders, but Grok 2 is better.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's...
they're all working on it.
This is definitely work in progress here. But at any rate, I mean, it's something that we can't really count on. So if you're searching for something in Google, take my advice, scroll down.
Right.
Go down to where the links are on the page and forget whatever the stuff is on top.
And even the summaries they put up there, you click on the links within the summaries, you're like, what are you talking about? What are you saying here?
And to be honest with you, I did when I read this, I did a few searches on topics that are kind of
known to you.
Known to me, but are not necessarily common search phrases.
Mm-hmm.
And the results were not good.
Yeah.
It was returning stuff that was either completely off, not relevant to what I was searching for, or was completely wrong.
Wow.
So, yeah.
All right. We'll put the link up for that story as well. So we're going to be here until 11 o'clock. Four lines wide open. We have the great Joey Burgoyne producing the program. Looking forward to what he's going to do. So we're here till 11 o'clock. Get online 860-522-9842. If you're in line at the dump, give us a ring. We'll do our best to help you out. We'll be right back. All right. This is Computer Talk. Like she said, we'll be here till 11 o'clock, and feel free to get online. Two lines open for you, 860-522-9842 is the number, and we will help you out. And basically, you've got calls coming in right now, so we're going to go right to those calls. Let's go over to Janet in East Hartford first. What's going on, Janet?
Yes, I've called you a couple of times, but this one, this has been going on since I traveled at Christmas time through Massachusetts. I went to New York to visit family, and I borrowed a transponder from a friend. I did the same thing in June. When I came back in June from the graduation, everything was fine.
Yeah.
Not a word of the bill was paid. When I came back the first of the year, I started getting text messages that I needed to pay a bill, all this. But it was by text.
Mm-hmm.
So
you didn't fill that out, did you?
I got nervous on that. So I called my friend.
Right.
And I said, is something different? about the payment? And he said, no, they send it through the through the mail.
Right.
They don't send texts. He said, I think this is you know, a scam. I'm almost positive it's a scam.
Yep, it is a scam.
Don't click on it.
Right.
So anyway, that night on the news, WFSB did a whole story on it, and the reporter who was doing it, Aaliyah Redd, she got the same identical text that I did because she showed it.
Right.
So she said, it's a scam.
Right.
All right, so that's okay. So I didn't even open it because I was afraid I was going to click on something by mistake.
Yeah.
Well, March 6th, I got another one.
Yep.
That said, if I don't pay, you know, there's going to be
consequences.
So
yes.
I ignored it.
They're going to take away your license, right?
You have no idea what happened yesterday.
Oh.
I got another one. And it said, if you don't pay by March 14th, which was yesterday's date, you are going to lose your driving privileges and a couple other things.
Yeah.
And so I said, oh, my God. So I called my friend, and he said, Janet, this is a scam.
Yes, Janet.
Don't click on anything.
Right.
So
how come you don't believe him? Why do you keep falling for it?
I know. Oh, and you know what? They got me just the way they wanted me.
Yeah.
Because I started getting real nervous. So I called the East Hartford police, and the detective that I talked to, she said, you won't believe it, but I just got it, too.
Yeah. So, yes.
And so she said, she said, I traveled the same time you did. Mm-hmm. And I went to New York and I went through Massachusetts.
Well, just so you know, because, Janet, it doesn't matter when you traveled. You could have had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. You still would have gotten the text. They don't actually know you have Easy Pass. They don't they don't know. They could have said, hey, Janet, you had a tuna fish sandwich yesterday. And if you don't pay your Easy Pass bill, we're going to take away your license. That's really how you have to read these things. It doesn't have anything to do with the fact that you traveled. They send them to everybody.
Yeah.
All right. And this is this
and
is how
she told me to ignore it.
Yes.
She said it's getting really bad.
Yes.
And it's she said to me, she said it's even going to get worse when AI gets going.
Right.
It's really going to be bad. And she said the only thing that I can tell you is either on emails or your texts, if you don't know the people,
that's not good advice.
Open it.
Yeah, even that's not good advice because they're going to actually send things as if they're from people you know.
Right. So they'll impersonate somebody.
That advice is not good.
You don't even know. Like sometimes I get some things from my bank.
Yes.
And I say,
yeah, you don't believe it. Don't believe it.
Somebody wants me. They know my home phone. They know my numbers.
Right. And again, with Easy Pass, they'll send you a letter. And also, just so you know, I think, and this could be incorrect, it could be incorrect now, but I think there is no reciprocity anyways. So I think Connecticut drivers were one of the worst when it comes to even paying these bills because there's no reciprocity between Massachusetts and Connecticut anyways. So when I say that, I don't think they do anything in Connecticut about registrations. I could be wrong, or maybe it's New York I'm thinking of, but there's lots of states that just ignore those mass tolls. And
you're right. The reciprocity rules are all different. It's like a massive jigsaw puzzle.
Right. And the Connecticutians are pretty guilty of not paying their
tolls. But I do know from the person that the bill did come in and it's all been paid.
Of course.
I paid him back. You know, so I mean, I know, but I mean, it was so weird because as I saw the driving privileges taken away, they got me exactly where, you know, if I didn't know.
Mm-hmm. Well, if I sent you a text that said if you don't pay your electric bill right now, I'm going to turn the power off. Hey, Janet, if you don't pay your gas bill, I'm going to turn the gas off. Don't ever click on that. All that is is trickery. So,
I just thought I would call because this is like, to me, this is a new level with this thing, and it's been going on. You know, I had a great time.
I know.
And
has nothing to do with your time. You literally could have had a peanut butter sandwich, and you got the same text.
Oh,
it has nothing to do with what you did.
Yeah.
All
and
right.
I know that. And then my friend called me last night to make sure that I was okay and didn't got rid of it.
Right.
And he said he went to the barber shop, and about 5-6 people in the barber shop got it.
Right. It's a scam.
So it's there you are.
It's all good. Thank you for letting folks know, Janet.
Okay. Thank you for your program.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for calling.
So no clicking. Go ahead, Dennis.
I've got one of them here.
Yeah. My wife gets them all the time.
One of them.
She's like, honey, we had to pay our Easy Pass. I'm like, are you kidding me?
And thankfully, the Google Messages app on my phone
Right.
already segregated it as spam. I didn't get a notification.
Right.
I had to go in and look at my spam texts and see that I got one.
Yeah, Google's getting better at that too.
Oh, they are getting really good at it. But I'm waiting still, ignore them.
Yeah. I'm waiting for USPS to have my Easy Pass fee so they can just combine the text.
There you go. You're not going to get your package and you can't drive. All right, we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Steve, hang on. Three lines open for you. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We're here till 11 o'clock. One line open for you, 860-522-9842. And we sort of got the YouTube channel going.
Yeah.
I don't know why or how it, why it wasn't going, because I tested it on Friday, and it worked. I promise you it did. But there's a scheduling aspect of it that I'm trying to make happen automatically. And so I had to force it just a second ago to make it work. So it's working.
Okay.
No, we'll see how it goes. So let's go to your calls. We're going to go ahead and see what Steve's got cooking out there in Southington. What's happening, Steve?
Morning, Eric. Morning, Jeff.
Morning.
So I was thinking about your comment, unintended consequences of technology.
Which is what?
And it's, well, with everything, it seems like there's more consequences than there are benefits.
And no, I disagree with that. I disagree with that.
Yeah, I'm with Eric on this.
Before you even make your point, I disagree with that. But go ahead and make your point anyway, Steve.
I don't know if I can now because
what did
really,
we ruin it for you?
I'm really reaching with it to begin with, and I admit that I am reaching with it. Yes. But it's for me. Mm-hmm. Like I saw a movie, and I don't want to just say that it's a real true fact of it, mm-hmm. but it's a science fiction called Idiocracy.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I reference that all the time. I feel like we're living in the land of Idiocracy every day.
I just saw it a few weeks ago, and I can't believe it. And it just seems like we really are there.
We are there.
And is that, would you call that a series of unintended consequences that we're sort of falling into? Well, look at the...
That's not a technology, though, Steve. That's not a technology consequence.
What about the currency, the cryptocurrency thing? Now, that would be an unintended consequence where you're buying something... And like I said, you get what you pay for.
Yeah, but that's not technology.
For something that doesn't exist, then suddenly you lose all your money.
That's not technology because, again, we talk about this all the time. Yeah, they had the big tulip thing. Tulip bulbs were the same cryptocurrency scenario.
Right. The tulip bubble in the Netherlands a couple centuries ago.
So this is all human stuff. So Idiocracy is all about just the lack of education where folks are just not able to comprehend what they're doing anymore. That's not technology necessarily.
And in the case of the toll spammers,
the barcode and how the barcode got, transferred onto people, and that's technology.
It's a use of technology, but I don't remember that aspect of it. But the point is, technology has definitely greatly improved our lives. That you can't argue, I don't think.
Oh, I certainly like technology. Mm-hmm. But sometimes I feel like.
Yeah, but people are people.
I don't really understand it.
People are people no matter what age you're living in and will make crazy dumb decisions. And that's all psychological. I mean, I'm not a sociologist or anything like that, but it has nothing to do with technology. It has to do with people's willingness and the culture and how the culture talks about, I remember my kids when they were graduating from high school, every valedictorian and every speaker always said, speak truth to power. Use this newfound knowledge to use your own brain and look at things and think critically of what you're going to do going forward. And then you go out into life and then everyone says, well, if you don't do this, you don't do this, you must be one of them. And who is one of them? Well, you must be one of them because you don't believe in this. You believe in that. But you just told me to use my brain and figure it out. No. That was just talking at these commencements. We don't actually want you to use your brain. If you happen to do this over there, you're with those guys. But if you're with those guys, you're not smart enough to be here. So I don't think it has anything to do with technology. I think it's all cultural. You don't get Idiocracy. You don't get Idiocracy from technology. You get it from the culture, as far as I'm concerned. And I'm no sociologist.
I think you're right there. I think you're right there. Definitely. Yeah. Wow. That's very interesting.
What I was going to say is that the scammers are taking advantage of that.
Yeah.
That's how they trick you into, the click fix.
Yeah,
scams that can take over your computer. That's how they get you to connect the fact that you traveled with these toll texts that you're getting later. Then you make that connection and say, oh, yeah, I must have rung up a bill that I haven't paid.
Right.
And you immediately associate the two, even though there is no association.
Yeah.
And that's just human psychology. That's how human beings are. Mm. We want to link one thing to another.
Yep.
And come up with a relationship between them, even if there isn't one.
Yep.
It's just how it is. Yeah.
Well, we're not.
That gives me a lot to think about.
All right, Steve. Well, go back and watch your G.I. Joe, because that was a great contribution last week.
Oh, yeah. That was great. I loved that.
That was funny.
Have you seen the episode?
I watched enough of it.
I did. I watched it.
You watched the whole thing?
Yeah, it was great.
And that's back in the 80s.
Cobra coin. I love it. Thanks, Steve. We got to let you go.
Okay, we'll see you.
Yeah, bye-bye.
That was fantastic,
Awesome. That was awesome. All right, let's go to Don in Avon next. Don, what's happening?
Hi.
Hey, good morning.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good. I bought a Windows 11 Mac computer a year ago.
All right.
And I think I installed Microsoft 365. I think it came with the machine.
Yes,
1 year now.
Yeah.
Now they sent me a bill
okay.
for a subscription.
Yep.
Is that normal?
Well, yeah. They want to get paid every year.
Is there a way to substitute Microsoft 365 with other apps, maybe free ones?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can. What you can do if you don't want to pay that again, You can uninstall the Microsoft 365 in your computer, and you can install something called LibreOffice, which is an open source product. It pretty much takes the place of Word, Excel, and PowerPoint. It doesn't have an Outlook component, but you know that's separate anyway. And it also has a very rudimentary database product, which is similar to Access, but it's not as sophisticated. But most people aren't using Access anyway, so yeah. You can probably get by with LibreOffice, and it's a nice product. I have it installed on a couple of Linux computers that I use, and it's funny.
How do you spell Libre?
LIBRE. We'll post a link.
Post a link for you, so you don't have to remember.
And what it's called, Libre what?
LibreOffice. LibreOffice. But we're going to post a link to it.
All right. Now, before I start uninstalling Microsoft 365, can I load this LibreOffice?
Yeah, it's your computer.
And run it?
Yes, sir.
Sure.
That's basically what I want. Not a heavy-duty computer user anymore. Yeah. I don't really use Microsoft 365.
It's great if you don't have any particular need for all the features of Real Office. Mm-hmm. It's fantastic because it's free.
Yeah.
Well, in Excel, sometimes I use some tools that they supply for like sorting and stuff. Mm-hmm. Is that going to be there, or yeah. Is that something I got to?
Yeah, things like sorting and filtering; those features are all there.
Oh,
yeah,
good.
Yeah.
Well, this is a very
there are some differences in the interface. You're gonna have to look for where to click on stuff to do it, but
yeah.
Those features are there. Absolutely,
I gotta do that
there.
With Excel. Yeah. What's the difference?
There you go.
You never know. They moved everything around on me in this app, you know, and Microsoft 365. I didn't know where anything was.
Oh, I got a story. Yeah, I know. We know. It's the
story
it's,
of our lives here.
It is.
So, yeah, all right.
All right.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome, sir.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Before we go to a break, I want to remind you guys that our little program, Computer Talk with Tab, has got a miracle and ice moment that we're going for here. There's the Hartford Current has a best of 2025 competition going. And so Dennis and I in Computer Talk radio program is up against Big Radio. All right. We're just a couple of unpaid amateurs coming in here to help you guys out, minding our own business, up against the giants of the radio industry, like Brian and company and those guys who are professionals. So it's like us taking on the Russians. We're going to do our best, and we need you to help. So if you go over to the Hartford Current and choose Computer Talk with Tab as the best radio program, we can show Big Media, Big Radio, what a good show is all about.
Wow, way to put me in a predicament this morning, huh?
Well, you started with us, Joey. Joey started with us, right?
And I can vote more than once.
Yeah, different logins. There you go. That's why he's a geek. So, yes, no matter how many email addresses you have, you could vote for Computer Talk with Tab. And it would be cool if we won. We're not holding our breath, but it doesn't matter where you vote from. So if you're listening to this program on the podcast, if you downloaded the Odyssey app and you listen to it on the podcast, you enjoy the program and you're up there in Saskatchewan, for all we know, go over to the Hartford Current's webpage. We have a link for you and choose our little program. We would appreciate it. It would be fun if we won. We're not holding our breath, though.
No, because
up against Big Radio and, you know, the big folks like Brian is not going to be easy. So, but we appreciate your support. We're going to step out for a quick break. John and Dan, hang on. Two lines open for you. I could barely get my kids to vote for me. 860-522-9842 is the number. And we'll do our best to get your calls in. We'll be right back. All right. We are back. This is Computer Talk. Let's get right to your calls. We're going to go to who's been on the longest. Oh, you okay there, Dennis?
Yeah.
We're going to go to Dan in East Windsor next. What's happening, Dan?
Hey, guys. Another nickel coming your way for an all of a sudden.
Yes.
Thank you.
enjoy your newfound riches.
Yes.
I have a communication issue for some reason between Adobe Photoshop Elements and my Canon LIDE400 scanner. When it all of a sudden comes in, it was working fine. I just used it on Tuesday, and then this computer doesn't go on the internet at all. It's just for me scanning documents and transferring them to my phone to send them into my company to get paid. What I do is I scan the document into Adobe Photoshop Elements, and then I can clean it up and all that stuff. So, all along it's been where I can select either the Canon LIDE 400 or select WIA Canon LIDE 400, and now all of a sudden, there it is, another nickel. The plain Canon LIDE 400, which would be a Twain driver, is gone. All that's available is the WIA Canon LIDE 400. I tried reinstalling the Adobe Photoshop Elements. That didn't work. I also tried reinstalling the scanner driver. That didn't work. The only thing I haven't done yet, which I'm going to do later today when I stop, I'm a truck driver. I'm actually in Nashville, Tennessee right now.
Oh, wow.
The only thing I haven't done is I have not gone into the device manager and uninstalled the scanner and then restarted the computer and let the scanner reinstall by itself. I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
You stole my thunder.
Yeah, we lost our nickels.
I'm also gonna add something to that too.
Okay.
Uninstall it in device manager. Also, go into control panel and uninstall the Canon LIDE software.
Okay.
Then reboot the computer with the scanner out, disconnected, sorry.
Okay.
So the computer doesn't even know it's there. Then you're going to run the installer for the Canon drivers again because you just removed them.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe somewhere in that process, it's going to prompt you to connect the scanner. Go ahead and do that at that time.
Okay.
All right. But yeah, you kind of stole my thunder with the device manager thing.
You did everything right.
It was working absolutely fine on Tuesday, and I know it's not an update causing this because this computer doesn't go on the internet at all ever.
Okay.
It just
stopped working.
Yeah. And
stuff breaks.
I have other apps on the same laptop, which can see the Canon LIDE 400 just fine. I don't know.
So it's just Adobe that can't.
It's just, Photoshop Adobe Elements that doesn't see it.
And it was seeing it just fine on Tuesday.
Hmm.
But it still shows the WIA Canon LIDE 400.
Well, that's interesting. I mean, again, nothing updated, like you said. Other things see it. That does make it more difficult to solve because if the machine is being seen by other software, then the drivers are probably okay. It's an Adobe problem.
Yeah.
But Adobe didn't get touched. Did you say you uninstalled Adobe completely?
I know. I reinstalled it on top of itself.
That's normally okay.
Yeah, that should have fixed it if that were the issue.
And I did the same thing with the scanner driver too. Although I did disconnect the scanner and reinstall the scanner drivers on top of themselves and reconnected the scanner and let it finish installing. But
maybe
starting over. Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe it'll work. The last step there that Dennis mentioned, maybe that will work. But it's interesting that it's sort of works already. So
I mean, it's half working.
We're kind of stumped a little bit.
It's as if the software is expecting a response from the scanner that it's not getting in the way that it's looking for.
It could be a video issue too, a WYSIWYG driver type of issue. It could be something that's not being displayed properly. Maybe look at updating your video drivers. I'm just kind of grasping at things here because it is using graphical display to do some of this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I'm talking like when I open up the Adobe Photoshop Elements, click on File, then Import. Usually once the import expands, the scanner is shown there, and it shows my other scanners.
Yeah.
It shows my Canon P150, and it shows my Epson, but which that's not even in the truck anymore.
So how many scanners does a truck driver need?
well, I don't even have the Epson anymore. I got rid of that.
Uh-oh.
It was a the Epson was a little portable scanner. You could feed one sheet at a time, and it would just zip right through. And so
nice,
but that had a very, very poor scan quality. So I sent that back. I have two in the truck. I have a flatbed scanner, which is the LADE 400, and then I have a Canon P150, which is a sheet bed scanner.
Yeah, but when you say it sees it, it's not seeing anything. It's seeing that what it was there, this Epson, right? Did you uninstall it?
I did, but for some reason it still shows in there. But
that could be things like that could be conflicting too. Who knows?
I mean, it doesn't show the Epson in the device manual or in devices and printers or anything like that. It's just still in the import menu in the Adobe Photoshop Elements. Yeah. But it,
interesting.
But like I said, I mean, that's been that way for quite a while. I mean, we're talking like back in January, I returned the Epson, and it was seeing the Canon LADE 400 just fine up until yesterday when I tried it.
Well, what about this? You don't have it connected to the internet, right? For whatever reason, maybe you should update.
Well, I suppose I could, but I kind of keep this computer off of the internet intentionally.
I know you do. I know you
do. Sure.
But it's not like you're going to go and surf to bad places. If you do some updates, maybe some updates would be with the doctor
and
orders.
Just get it on the internet long enough to do that and then take it off. I have another suggestion, too. And it might sound a little out of left field, but try connecting that scanner to a different USB port on the computer.
Yeah, it could be something.
Did that already.
Oh, you did.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah, did that.
You stole my thunder again.
Yeah, lots of nickels we're losing.
I tried all the stuff before I even called you.
Yeah. Try updating. Try the other, the last step that Dennis mentioned. I don't know.
I'm going to.
All right.
I thought about just wiping the computer and just reinstalling everything.
That's drastic. I hear you.
That's drastic, but it might come to that if you're very unlucky.
I was thinking about just putting Windows 10 back on it because I don't have to worry about it not working. I mean, it'll work. Now, I don't have to worry about it not updating after October because I don't want the internet with this thing anyway. So,
Yeah, well, that's an option, but I don't know. You obviously got it online to update to 11, so I think maybe doing
That was the only time. I mean, I installed Windows 11, from scratch. Did a clean install.
Yep.
You
know? Oh, okay.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. All right. I didn't update to 11. I usually don't go and do an update from one software version to another. I prefer a clean install.
Yeah. No, I don't blame you, Dan. Well, we gave you a couple things to try. I don't think we earned any nickels, but I hope you let us know how it goes.
Well, I thought you'd get a nickel for every time it's an all of a sudden.
I know, but I think there has to be some sort of payment when we actually solve a problem.
By the way, you have to pay yourself a nickel, too, for the YouTube all of a sudden not working.
I know. But did I say all of a sudden? I could have said that. It is possible. All right, Dan.
All right. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Thank you. You too.
Bye-bye.
Trust me, it's not been all of a sudden. It's been fighting that thing. It's ridiculous. It's got to be a confusing key or something. Let's go to... Let's go to John in Hartford with a good question there. What's going on, John?
Hi. Don't want to be a dead horse about scams, but I had a question on one that was run on my daughter.
Okay.
She was looking for a car for her brother and on Facebook Marketplace, and she got this thing about it was the perfect car. It was like in a garage. It was from a friend. The post was from a friend who was in a garage, and her grandfather had died, and so it was just like, great price.
Yeah.
And so, I transferred some money to her to put a down payment. I said, but first call your friend.
Right.
Which she did. It was a total scam.
Yep.
And thank God I told her to do that.
Yes.
But do they know what you're searching?
So the friend that she was dealing with on Facebook was a copy of a friend. It was somebody impersonating. And it happens all the time where you don't even realize you've already connected with a real friend, but that same person shows up as trying to connect to you, and you're like, oh, I already thought I did. I'll go ahead and connect.
Right. Also, some of the scammers will do intelligence on people that they're spoofing so that they'll know that your daughter is connected to this person.
And your daughter could have put a Facebook message out to folks on her thing saying, I'm looking for a car, and they got that message.
They could have seen that, yes.
Or they simply were lucky and said, I have a car for sale and your daughter happened to be in the market, which is also very easy to do, right?
So there's no particular way to prevent them from finding out that information.
Well, again, if they're just fishing, all they did was fish and said, I've got a car available. There's really nothing you can do to prevent that. No, you just have to assume everything out there is, and just got to be a cynic. And what you did by telling her to call the friend was the right advice.
We in the business, we often talk about zero trust computing.
Zero trust.
You need to apply that kind of thinking to everything.
Right.
It's unfortunate, but that's just how it is.
So. One quick question. Remanufactured inks. Are there good and bad ones? For like, I've got an Epson computer.
I'd buy the Epson ink for me.
I've tried remanufactured ink cartridges on different printers, and I've never had good luck with them.
And John, we got a hard break here, so we got to go.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye-bye. We'll be right back.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism, so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.